today on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Go ahead and watch Judy Garland and, you know, in my Easter bonnet. And don't worry about having to watch this. I'll talk with O about it. It's okay. Believe me, how many things do I ask you to do that you aren't thrilled to do?
If it was a good TV show, it'd be a different thing.
Well, you know, take this one off the list.
Why doesn't HBO do a Judy Garland reality show?
That's because she's dead, Rob.
How's that?
She's left us.
And we honestly captured in one bust alone, it was 10.5 metric tons of cocaine.
Oh, my God.
12 angry men.
No, that's a different one. Now, that's Mike at the gym.
Hey,
how about a round of applause for our Bolivian brother with his pop culture reference to 12 to one of the great jury movies of all time.
So what, he read a TV guide once.
Did they modernize that? Did they make a recent version of that movie, 12 Angry Men?
Not to my record.
A Time to Kill.
No, I don't
A Time to Kill was John Grisham, another jury movie, though. I'm giving you mad props.
Are you just Googling those?
No, I got nothing.
Are you just Googling them?
All that and more. The Mike O'Mara Show starts now. Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment. You can listen to The Mike O'Mara Show at MikeOMaraShow.com.
Let's get started.
It's The Mike O'Mara Show with Mike O'Mara, Oscar Santana, and Rob Spiewak. Now, here's Mike.
Katy, Texas, Sun River, Oregon, Adelaide, South Australia, Athens, Greece, Ypsilanti, Michigan, Southern, by God, Maryland. Is that somebody that put that in there, right? That's not the town.
No, no. I think that's
Southern, by God.
I think that's sort of a, what is it, colloquialism for the locals?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I delayed the show today for the purpose of watching the Merrick Garland press conference because they started going nuts.
The MSM, mainstream media,
started going badass, which they did. And they're guilty of that because they get boners because they think that it's going to be something newsworthy. And then as it got closer, one of the reporters said he's just going to say he supports the Justice Department agents, the attorneys in the FBI, which is what he said. And that he's making public the warrant, I guess. So that's it. And so after saying he was going to have a press conference at 2:30, I text all the guys, say, I think this might be noteworthy and newsworthy.
Yeah.
Let's delay the start of the taping of the show. And then half an hour later, he walks in and says that. He is on for approximately 2 minutes, and then he leaves. So,
you know, I think calling
that
a press conference.
Salute to the government.
Know, that's too much calling it a press conference. I think you should call it the Merrick Garland Show.
Today's episode of The Lincoln Project, they break down really to a level that I could understand, Mike, why this is so important and momentous. If you have a moment, Reed will break it down for you. It really helped me understand.
And a fascinating thing about it is that there are many parallels to the Nixon administration that to the naked eye you don't realize, but it is a fascinating hand-in-hand with Watergate,
very cool.
Even though Nixon's Watergate is not what apparently Trump thought it was. So, but listen to it. It's good stuff.
What I know is this. When everything is a conspiracy, if everything that anyone alleges you do wrong is a conspiracy, which is the world we live in now.
Yeah.
Then you can do anything because you are never wrong and you are never guilty. So the joke that was made a while back about I can walk down Fifth Avenue and shoot somebody and they wouldn't care. That's the truth.
Mm-hmm.
If this man, Donald Trump, with his base, if he walked down and he shot somebody in the head, somebody said, well, that person had to have been a threat to his family or done something. It wouldn't matter. So that's where we are.
He wouldn't be that clear. He'd say, I think he was an Iranian. That's all he'd have to say, right? Off the news cycle.
I didn't care for his manner.
But there's never
any admission of wrongdoing. And speaking of wrongdoing, this is not an admission of wrongdoing so much as it's a correction. When I was all over Aaron Rodgers a couple of shows ago.
Yeah.
You know, I went and took a listen to the podcast that he was on.
Pardon my take.
Mm-hmm. Pardon my take. And it was a fun segment. Yeah. It really was. And those guys are very, very funny and very engaging. A little snarkier than I would like. You know, a la, but not snarky in the Jim Rome snark.
Okay.
At least not what I saw. I think they're opinionated sports talk hosts, yes. And I get it. That's the way it works. The one guy with the long hair should take his sunglasses off because that's just, it looks so light. I mean, it looks so, if anybody could tell him that. But anywho, you know, Aaron Rodgers came in and it was a ball busting session, which was delightful that he came on that show with the.
I still am not a fan.
What's
of
the
Aaron
guy's
Rodgers.
Name? What's
Big Cat.
The
Big Cat?
Big Cat. Yeah, but Aaron Rodgers, who I really eviscerated because I thought he was just being an arrogant. Well, he was being an arrogant hump because that's what he was expected to be on that show. And apparently that show is based out of Chicago, and the Packers always beat the Bears, and so it was on and on and on. And so to Aaron Rodgers, salute to you for me getting it wrong. You're not, I think you can be dickish. I don't care for your vaccination standpoint. I think that's dumb, and you do influence people. But that show was just a ball-busting moment, and I thought that was great. It was great to watch a sports show with that kind of engagement between the host and the job.
That podcast at times reminds me of why I love talk radio when talk radio was talk radio.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Absolutely. And it's just when you compare it to what's out there. Oh, well, my God. First of all, there's so much out there. Anybody can do it. They were a breath of fresh air. And the Big Cat guy makes me laugh just to look at him.
It's funny.
Because he looks like he's just the kind of guy that would be, always just on the edge of a bar fight. Mm-hmm. Just on the edge of getting his ass summarily kicked. And
A losing bar fight.
And I don't listen to a lot of podcasts and watch a lot of podcasts, and I probably should because they're interesting and there's so much content out there. It's hard to keep track of. But now with my football mentality, that 7 o'clock tonight, 7 o'clock tonight, the New York Giants travel up the road to take on the New England Patriots. I'm very excited, and I will tell you why I'm excited. Because now, being a New York Giants fan, ladies and gentlemen, watch what happens. You are listening to a level of excitement that may seriously not be matched all season. Because after tonight, even though it's a preseason game, I could come back tomorrow on this show, our bonus show tomorrow, and I could come in and say, I've looked at them. I know it's preseason. All hope is gone.
Could all end tonight?
Oh, absolutely. Oscar and I were talking about Hard Knocks.
Yes.
And the coaching style of Brian Daboll of the New York Giants and the coach of the Detroit Lions, who is a blood and guts former player. He's like 9 feet tall. He does calisthenics with the team.
Yeah.
And he's just like, yay! And he yells so much that he spits.
Oh.
Quite a contrast to the coaching staff of the New York Giants, where, you know, those guys look like, at least the head coach and the defensive coordinator, Wink Martindale, they look good. If they did any calisthenics, they'd bring an ambulance onto the field because they are in Mike O'Mara shape. Yeah. Especially the defensive coordinator.
I didn't realize that Wink Martindale was still on the coaching staff of your New York Football Giants.
No, what happened was he was named after the game show host, and it stuck. His last name was Martindale, and they named him after the game show host, and it stuck. That's why he got the...
funny. Probably not an effective coach, but a funny name.
Well, a very effective coach. Former DC with the Baltimore Ravens, with your Baltimore Ravens. So we'll see what happens, you know.
Do you feel like, and just for, I know Rob hasn't seen this first episode of the latest season of the Detroit Lions.
He doesn't have to. Don't make him watch Hard Knocks. He'd hate it.
I've watched it in the past. I like
it. It's not required viewing for you. It's something you won't enjoy. And believe me, there are a lot of things I asked you to do that I know you don't enjoy, but this isn't one of them. You go ahead and watch Judy Garland. And, in my Easter bonnet. And don't worry about having to watch this. I'll talk with about it. It's okay. Believe me, how many things do I ask you to do that aren't thrilled to do?
If it was a good TV show, it'd be a different thing.
Well, you know,
take this one off the list.
HBO do a Judy Garland reality show?
That's because she's dead, Rob.
How's that?
That's she's She's left us. She has passed.
Ruined my day.
So there's always an opening speech to set the tone in all in every locker room. And when the cameras are on, it's a different level of speech, I believe, that you receive from the head coach. So imagine the players in the room.
Oh, he's auditioning, basically, for I'm the coach of the year.
Yeah, so he comes through, and I like that he had like three.
What's his name? Do we have his name?
It's, was it Dan Campbell, if I'm not mistaken?
Dan Campbell.
Let me make sure. Here.
That's a fake Dan Campbell name. Yeah. It's a fake DJ name.
So he comes out, and he says three rules, like respect your players, respect yourselves, respect the game, and then he points at this big cartoon-sized sign in the meeting room that says grit. Like, that's all we're going to do, right?
Okay.
And he also says, he went in what was, I felt like a parable of, we're going to play hard. You're never going to be healthy the rest of the season. What you feel like right
this
now.
This is as good as you're going to feel all season long.
It was, and the players know that. Maybe the rookies don't, but the players know that.
Right.
But just telling them that, and the light at the end of the tunnel is not, you know, it's not Shangri-La. It is a freight train coming at you, and you have to beat it.
You have to beat it. It was, I guess I am a cynic. I guess I'm a cynic when I watch that, because I imagine that inside the players' minds, they're going, here we go again, another guy, la, 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 la. Now, if I'm wrong, just seems to me that the coaches...
You can't be losers all the time and expect the losing product.
I know for a fact that they have a similar speech that they gave the Commanders, which is the light at the end of the tunnel is statistical elimination.
but don't you
I
want-
think it's really it just look I know the kind I know you're inspired by him, he's good on the TV.
It reminded me of you without the athleticism.
Yeah, you called him a monster. I appreciate that was really nice.
I said my kind of monster.
I just don't know if that translates in today's modern NFL to W's on the field. I don't, so we'll have to wait and see if it does. I don't dislike the guy. No. I when he did the whole thing, grit, I rolled my eyes. Because if I'm a veteran player and I hear that, well, they're all going to say that. You know, grit, you gotta respect the game. You gotta play the game right.
How long since the Lions have had a winning season?
Oh, well, winning season maybe, but I'm not sure. You know, they've never been to the big dance.
Right.
So it's, well,
they've got a Super Bowl quarterback.
With that. You know, and I'm dealing with... I am dealing with Brian Daboll, who I have seen interviewed, and Boomer Esiason was trying to get him out of his shell a little bit the other day. And Brian Daboll almost, he's a nice guy, looks kind of affable, he's jolly, he's bald, he's got a beard, but it looks to me as though you've got a guy that is trying to some extent to promote the Bill Belichick method of dealing with the media. He's not really effusive, which is fine
not
with me.
Warm.
there's no warmth with any of these guys, really. But it's not, he's just not volunteering a lot of stuff. And so that I found that interesting. And the contrast with the guys. Now, by the way,
on a scale of zero being Joe Gibbs,
yes,
and 10 being Vince Lombardi, where is he as far
as tough. I mean, you got to if you're going to use the right scale, you have to
Well, Vince is the most tight-lipped of all. He's got to be 10.
No, I think Bill Belichick is by absolute definition.
I guess you're right. I guess you're right.
So Bill Belichick is a 10, and Hank Stram is a 1. Right?
Hey, how are you? Yeah, how you doing, Willie? Hey, how you doing? I'm Hank Stram. Yeah, hey, pat on the back, pat on the butt. Yeah, let me touch your butt again. Yeah, here we go.
And then Bill Belichick is just like, Bill, you have just won the Super Bowl, and God has said you will live forever. Well, that's great. I mean, that's the extremes. Don't know where they are. But anyway, what we're talking about is football. And I've been curious this offseason because this is my flawed personality. It is why, by the way, that the hobby I pursue is the most masochistic hobby in the world, which is golf, because I've determined this, and it's a personality flaw. I am only intrigued when my team is absolutely staring into the abyss. When I have gone through and what happened last year was arguably one of the worst seasons for the New York Giants in their history. And you know what happened? Mike O'Mara got all excited because he said, because not only did they have a disastrous season, but then they blew it all up afterwards.
Yeah.
And I was thrilled. And now I'm curious because I feel as though right now, I am on the ground floor. There are shirts coming for my family, my son, my wife, and me. There are I am making arrangements with friends to watch games already. I am all in. And why, you ask, am I all? Is it because they won a Super Bowl? Oh, no, no. I'm the opposite of that fan. I'm the my fandom is if you win the championship, I'm like, well, okay. Yeah. I lose interest because I hate it.
It's an uphill. I'm sorry, Rob. It's an uphill battle for Mike. And for a little context, 4-13. They won 4 games last year.
Right.
4 games.
That's only four more than I won.
And they won them ugly.
Yeah.
Ugly.
But Mike, this is
like
rooted.
Snatching defeat from the jaws of victory on a regular basis.
This is rooted in your Red Sox fandom.
Yes.
Because you struggled for years.
Suffered like you wouldn't believe.
Suffered.
Loved it.
And then when
loved
they,
the suffering. And I didn't know that until after I endured it. And they then they won a few World Series.
You loved that first World Series win, but then you diminished your fandom.
How?
I want them to hit me. They have to hit me a little bit.
If you love me, you'll hit me. Yeah.
How's your son ever going to root for the Giants when you've got Tampa right there with a 13-4 record and the Dreamboat quarterback?
Because it's not, because really rooting for, I've come to this conclusion. That in some respects, when you're under my roof, rooting for Tampa or Miami is an unnatural act. It is not going to happen.
Unrewarding.
I have a picture of my dad when I was doing radio in Washington and it was a blizzard and they won their first Super Bowl. And my mom took a Polaroid of my dad, God rest his soul, and he had a silly blue, I have no idea where he got this hat, and they'd taken masking tape and put the NY on it, and he was wearing a sweatshirt that I had gotten him with the Giants after they won the Super Bowl, and he was sitting there in his little den with his chair, and it was just so sweet, and that is just right here, down here. Now, when the Red Sox won, my father was still, he was gone, and because he died long before 2004, and after that, I did have the phone call with my mom where it was like, but as soon as that's over, as soon as that rush is over, you got to really be in the pits to tweak it again. Yeah. I don't understand. A psychotherapist would be able to tell you why I am the way I am, but it's not. I'm not proud of it. And I'm flapping my gums and we have to get a talking head on at some point.
If Fenway burned to the ground, would that refresh you? Refresher.
No. The Red Sox kind of suck this year too. So it's
okay,
not,
so that's
but
good.
But the Red Sox, it's not. The Red Sox are still. They've won so much that they've got a little spoiled fan base, and I just
and they've also been a little Stalinized.
They have. Yeah, absolutely. With the fever pitch and all that.
But that was like 2 decades ago.
Yeah, but at the same, I know. God, can you believe that? 2 decades ago.
2 decades of Jimmy Fallon? What a great life we
You'll learn. When you get to be my advanced age, when elderly is elderly, you're going to realize that clock is like it's like the Wheel of Fortune.
It is.
And then you're done, you know? Then you're just over. All right, let's bring in our talking head, shall we? That was the football talk. Our talking head is Rob Cox. I know that name. He's all over everywhere.
I believe so. Yeah. We've met this gentleman. Yes.
Rob Cox. What do you mean we've met him?
He's you'll see in the explanation how we've met.
Okay. Rob Cox and there he is. He lives in his family's century-old farmhouse in Richmond, Iowa. That's just south of Kelowna. Is that how you pronounce it? Kelowna.
Yes.
How do you spell it?
K-A-L-O-N-A.
Oh, see, it was typed C-O-L-O-N-N-A.
It was a phonetic spelling like Jerry Kelowna, the comic.
He was probably thinking of Kelowna,
really?
Illinois.
Really? You gave me a f***ing phonetic spelling of Jerry Kelowna. Who? What? The Bob Hope comedian?
That's him. See, you knew.
Yeah, but I mean, really?
Yeah.
Is that your excuse this time? The excuse du jour?
What? It's
if
Kelowna.
You had given me C-O-L-O-N-A, I would have said Kelowna. Would you put the two N's after the O? It's Kelowna, like a colonoscopy.
Well, we stand in disagreement then, because I saw
C-O-L-O-N-N-A. How would you pronounce it any other way? I'm not busting balls, but we've had some talks about this.
Like Conan O'Brien.
Kelowna.
Kelowna.
It would be Conan.
Conan. Okay,
if it was C-O-N-N-A-N, it would be Conan.
Conan.
Right.
I hate to pick nits, but, you know, F it.
Or instead of Conair.
It'd be, no, instead, you got to go the opposite here. It would be Conair.
Conair.
I'm sorry.
Right?
Right.
Right. Yeah. What are those sneakers you're wearing? They're Converses. He's married to Heather, 17.5 years. That's 17 and a half years. Mm-hmm. And they have a daughter, Aubriana. What a great name that is. She is nearly 16. Hi, Aubriana. I love your name. He discovered us back in the day when his flower delivery van only had an AM radio, and it landed on the show on KCJJ, I imagine. Rob is 47, currently completing a double major at Coe College in secondary education and history social studies. Wow. He's a teacher. He wants to teach high school government based on an encounter with a misinformed valedictorian. Can't wait to hear about that. His wife is a Montessori school teacher. They both attended the 2017 live show in New Orleans, even though Heather was recovering from a stroke. Wow. Prior to college, Rob worked in a post office, in a factory, in a convenience store, and tried to be a railroad conductor. Wow, lots going on. From 2003 to 2014, Rob served in the U.S. Navy. Thank you for your service. The service, he was a gunner's mate, first class. He was, Oscar, inspired by Top Gun. He was part of a rather large cocaine seizure in the South Pacific. That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
His favorite episode of TMOS is number 1452. He knows all the details.
It blew my mind when I was talking to him. I said, do you have a favorite moment? And he said, yeah, episode 1452.
Rob has a special trinket as a gift for Oscar. Intrigued you should be. Now here's Rob Cox. Rob, I've seen your name around. You've been a fan of the show for a good long time. How are you, sir?
Not too bad. Yourself?
Doing great. Thank you for your service to the country and your service in the Navy, where you were a gunner's mate, which means you're up there on the hardware. And if you're involved in a cocaine seizure, I would imagine you had to have some access to that weaponry if you were stopping a ship with cocaine on it.
Well, I went and fought for 11 years to get into the Navy because I have flat feet. Finally got in 2003.
Right.
Because of the people leaving because of 9/11 and knew what was coming down the pipe. Got in. My first ship was a frigate, which they used them for doing drug interdiction ops. I was a gunner's mate. Not at that time. I was still a deckhand and volunteered to join the vessel boarding search and seizure team.
Wow.
Got involved in that. I hate heights. They made you rappel down the side of several Connex boxes.
Mm.
And it was a pain to do for me. So basically get on the rib boat that they sent you on to go to the vessels we were boarding.
Rib boat's like, Rob, rib boat's like a raft, right? Like a dinghy. Like it's got the engine on it.
Rigid hull inflatable boat.
Like a Zodiac or something like that. Yeah. Right.
Without the killer.
You jump in the water, you climb down to it using a rope ladder. You go across and you board and... Yeah, we did a lot of that during the 6-month deployment with my frigate. I was on the USS Cromlin out of Pearl, and we honestly captured in one bust alone. It was the San Jose. It was 10.5 metric tons of cocaine.
Oh my God! This is in the Pacific.
I was in the Pacific Ocean. If I remember it correctly, because we did both. We went through the Panama Canal several times during that deployment. And we did both sides. And
you must have not slept for weeks.
Oh, no.
Oh, and he'd take everybody gets a free sample. Heavy.
Yeah, it was like working at WAVA, wasn't it?
Tons of
heavy,
cocaine.
Heavy lock and key.
So when you do heavy that, I have a million questions. So you board the ship that's got the coke on it. Mm-hmm. And when you do that, obviously there are guns, that are pointing. What about the crew of the ship? Were they armed too, or how did that go down?
Usually what would happen is we would send our helicopters over to stop them, and the helicopters would use their weaponry to get them to stop, order them to the front of the boat or to a part of the boat so the vessel boarding team could come on board.
So it's cleared when you board the boat, the imminent danger has been diffused to a degree.
To a degree, yeah. You've always got to be careful because they know where a lot of weapons are. I mean, the first 2, 3, 4 hours you're on the boat, you've got a team holding the guys on from the boat in one area of the boat, and you are checking the rest of the area, rest of the ship, to make sure that it's safe to be on, because they could have hidden weapons anywhere.
And they could be, there could be a guy stowing, you know, down in the engine room with a gun or something like that, right?
Exactly. You have people going everywhere to clear the place out. Yeah.
Do you?
So I'm sorry. That's okay. I'll let you go right after me, because I'm just,
I have no more
here.
Jokes. I have real questions.
So when you go on, so they put them in a certain area. You're the boarding team. The helicopters have threatened them with, obviously, if you got a Black Hawk or whatever, you know, hovering over your ship, you're not going to, was it a Black Hawk? What kind of helicopter?
No, it would be, I forget what kind of ship or helicopter it actually was. I think it's a, I know they were out of the HSL 67 out of Kanahoe.
Airwolf.
But I can't remember exactly what kind of helo they were, but they were not Blackhawks, no.
So when you, you know, and it doesn't have to be the major bust with that record amount of coke on it, but when you do the boarding party, is there, do you guys have an idea of where you're going to look? And is it everybody that's, you know, moving around and then, hey, it's over here. How does that go down?
Well, you're actually, they've still got on these kind of boats, they're called the motherships. They've got the drugs hidden. You're actually just looking for weapons and areas where you can try to find the other guys. Maybe there's some guy hiding or whatever. You're ready to go. And you're going throughout the boat, checking it out. And they've got a pretty good idea already through intelligence that's been sent down where the drugs are hidden. And they'll go to walls and stuff like that. And they can test the walls and find out where the drugs are. And that's what they did.
So they're like built into the walls, almost like a secret hatch, or are they like plaster over?
Exactly,
that's
right.
Crazy.
Oh yeah.
Oh, that's amazing. That is. I mean, that's got to be. For how old were you at the time when you were doing all this stuff?
Well, let's see. I went into the Navy when I was 29. I'd fought for 11 years to get in. Finally got in when I was 29. So it probably would have been about 30, 31.
That's got to be something.
What about these narco subs? Are they the Loch Ness Monster? Or they really exist?
They actually exist. They actually had intelligence on a couple of them. We never saw them, but they're around. They're around.
That is amazing. It really is.
So no sampling, huh?
Oscar, yes.
No, thank you.
Do that. Wow. And the guys that do you get a look at the crew of these ships? Do you see what they look like?
We would usually sit in the pilot house with them and guard them or whatever. So yeah, you'd be there with them and they do a rotational section and everything like that. But it was the full team would board and then you do rotations through to get it done. So yeah.
So how long do you sit out there in the middle of the ocean with one of these drug ships? How long does the whole thing last?
It depends, because we had one that was done in a day and a half, 18 hours. Mm-hmm. We had issues with the Mexican government where we sat on one ship for 7 days begging them to let us search it.
Oh, wow.
Because we knew exactly where the drugs were. They took a sample of the drugs. And sadly enough, the Mexican government said, no, thank you.
Yeah.
And several weeks later, the exact chemical composition was found in some drugs in Denver, Colorado. We had heard tell.
Mm. Wow. Now, is that common?
Technically, they said no gracias.
Yes. Mm-hmm. No, but is that common? I thought the Mexican government was, as a rule, fairly cooperative.
Well, you got to remember, you're talking years and years ago, Rob, because I was there 2003, 2004, 2005.
Okay. This is before...
before they became
changed.
A lot more liberal.
Yeah, the time
okay. All right. Makes sense.
All right, and I'm looking all over the. There's so much I want to talk to you about, but I have to, you know, anything that's about us, I've got to. Episode, your favorite episode is 1452, and you know all about it. I'm taking a chance here, by the way.
I don't remember 1452.
By doing that, what was 1452? What was that?
It was the day of the 2016 Iowa primaries. You were running around doing your voices at the very beginning. Hillary! And stuff like that. And then I believe you went into the story about little Michael. You took him out to go have breakfast. He wanted to go have breakfast with you. Carla woke you up early. You had to go. Then you were playing with him in the house. And all of a sudden, the pancakes came back up and you got puked on. And he puked all over the place. And you told Carla, I got this house clean. No problem. And she's like, bull. She went and grabbed the Kirkland wipes and was wiping everything down again. And then the topper on the Sunday, Oscar, was talking about how his parents had left the, what was it? Oh, the snowblower out.
Yeah.
And they had gotten it stolen, mm-hmm. and he was just beside himself. He'd spent so much time and money trying to get the snowblower
to save them.
And it just blew his mind.
Yeah.
That's just those very
dark days.
That's like a mundane little show that we did with all the crap that happens in our life. I was thinking, how many have we, Rob, do you know how many numbers we've done?
Pony,
how
where
many
are we shows at? Have we done? Where are we at, Pony?
Today is 2920. We're almost at 3,000. Yeah.
Wow.
So we're going to have a 3,000 show coming up?
Yeah, but technically for Rob, it's 2,800, right?
Because yeah, that's a good point.
Long.
You know what?
Yeah.
He doesn't get to celebrate.
Thank you.
Yes, he does.
And for Oscar, so it doesn't count because he tunes out for the audio vault. So
3,000 is like a big baseball number, and we should have a...
We're winners, Mike. Look at that sign. It says grit.
Grit? Hey, grit. I'm going to do the up and downs with you.
Why did I turn him into Alex Jones? So your wife, at a young age, had a stroke. That had to be rock your world. And how's she doing now?
She's kicking butt, taking names. Trust me, she's a lot stronger than I am. I was sitting there in the hospital wondering how we were going to ever put it back together. And she's the one that actually said when I had the tickets for the New Orleans show.
Yeah.
She told the doctor, we're going, there's no way around it. And the doctor was like, you got to go because that'll be a great healer for her. So they were really excited to have that going on. Whereas other people were like, we don't know if you should go. Mm-hmm. So we rode Amtrak for a day and a half down to come see you guys in New Orleans.
Wow.
That's the first time a doctor ever prescribed New Orleans to make someone healthier.
Yeah. Pony, make a note. Pony, make a note. HOF. HOF, yes. Next Live Show. H-O-F. Husband and wife team. Okay, thank you. Boy, and so you're going to school right now, reinventing yourself again, and you're completing a double major to be a government studies teacher, which, by the way, if I was going to teach, that would be numero uno. I want to do CI, current issues, and government. I would find that fascinating to mold little minds, you know?
I really am trying to do history as a whole and use the American government. I want to be a varied teacher. I don't want to be stuck in one area. Mm-hmm. I have psychology. I have history. I have world history. I'm working on the American government part of it. And I want to get sociology, too. Get all those together, make myself a very, very marketable teacher so that I can go out and do several things.
Most people don't want to teach, and it's a shame.
Not at Rob's age.
It's thankless, and they're heroes, teachers. What made you want to go back?
Well, that's part of the story. We're talking about the valedictorian. I used to work at a little convenience store, just filling the time a little bit while I was looking for another job. Mm-hmm. And lo and behold, this valedictorian from a local school came in. He was talking about all this great stuff. The kid's really, really smart. Don't get me wrong. Mm-hmm. But he looks at me and goes, we never fought a war against Japan because they wouldn't have given us Super Mario Brothers or Pokemon if we had. I'm sitting there looking at this going, you've got to be kidding me.
A valedictorian was unaware of the fact that we had fought Japan in World War II, was unaware of, not only had we...
He wouldn't believe it.
He wouldn't believe it. And this is not a small... this is...
It's a big deal. World War II,
it was in all the papers.
Yeah. It was in all the papers. Were the standards at his particular school, low? What the hell was that all about?
I think that's just the one thing that he had is he wouldn't believe it. I talked to some of his teachers, and I mean, they said that he was doing AP courses and everything else, and it was very, very intelligent, very, very smart. But that was the one hookup he had is that he would tell people that, and it was just like, wow.
How can you have a blind spot? The foreigner sitting to the left of Rob and across from you, as you see in your camera, and
Mike.
you know
WW2.
Yeah,
sure.
Like the axis of evil. One and what's two.
Right.
So that actually, you said, hey, if this idiot is the valedictorian, I got to get in the school system and start teaching kids.
Well, it's not just that, but also I remember learning history myself and how much I loved it.
Right.
And it's still great. Today I love history and everything. And there were kids in my class who were just like, I don't know why we have to learn history. What's something important about history?
Right. A lot of people hate it.
Yeah.
Rob, how tall are you again? I remember you towering over us.
How could you remember anything? The one time I met you, you barely paid attention to me.
I have a gift. I have a gift.
Oh, you have a trinket. He says Rob has a special trinket for you.
Oh,
Oscar,
really?
Yes, he has.
This is. How tall are you?
6'3".
See, I knew that.
Yeah, big fella.
Ooh.
Very, very. Well, what's the trinket? What is that?
I'll hold it up for you, Mike. It's my miniature kitchen. It's a little trinket that could go in my kitchen because it is miniature.
It's a Chicken McNugget necklace.
It's a Chicken McNugget necklace. And I will wear this.
That is wonderful.
Put it on right now.
All he eats is chicken nuggets or chicken fingers or whatever else.
That is so sweet.
This is very sweet. No one's given me jewelry on the show before. This is very sweet.
That's like exciting. More
now you got to marry him.
Thank you.
Oh, my God. I just pulled out my thing.
Oh, please, God. No, my wife would kill me. My wife. Although, Shannon, where is Shannon at?
Shannon's in her office, probably working on TPS reports.
Toiling.
Well, we can't get a camera in there for Shannon? Come on. We get videos of Carla showing up all the time.
Yeah, you know, I think Mike would probably sign off on that camera. If you get Shannon on this show.
Let's see if we can get
Shannon
range.
Cam.
Well, you know what, Rob, for you, I'll work on that. That'd be funny.
That's
to
awesome. All right, well, we're out of time. Is there anybody you want to say hello to, Rob Cox? And I meant what I said about that at Joe Epstein.
Yeah.
Is there anybody you want to say hi to before we let you go?
Well, there are two people. When we went down to New Orleans, we were brand newbies. We didn't know what was going on, and we were scared, both of us. My wife was nervous because of how she'd the issues. Me, I just didn't know anybody. And there are two wonderful people. And I know you're going to hate one of them, but I've got to say.
Wait, now who's going to hate one of them?
Dennis Murphy.
You know, I don't hate Dennis.
Dennis
was a wonderful, wonderful asset to making us feel comfortable, making us wonderful. SDM had a great party that night at Nakatomi Towers, and it was wonderful.
SDM's party was great.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
How is he? Do you keep in touch with him? Because, I mean, I know we talk about it off air sometimes, but how is Stephen Douglas Megan? I don't hear about him anymore. I don't see him online. Is he in okay health?
He's working, if I'm not mistaken. I don't talk to him nearly as much as I did 2 years ago.
Or is he just signed off on us?
No, no. He's got a whole new. Remember, he tried to start a charity, a fake charity, and then that became a big deal, and then he walked away. It was something strange like that. Do you remember that?
I don't remember that.
No, I don't remember that.
That's Oscar saying that. I have no memory of that. But anyway.
Tony said that was Jimmy.
No. He booked like a half of Jimmy's restaurant, and then like nobody showed up to it.
That
cost Jimmy a bunch of money.
Yeah. That's
what happened. Yeah. What was this? What?
Mike.
It was a Super Bowl party.
I don't want to dump on him. I want to find out how he's doing.
He had multiple fallouts with the gentleman. He's still
I know that. Yes. I know that, but time heals.
I don't know if he's healed yet. Still a nice guy.
Oh, he's mad at us now.
I haven't talked to him in forever.
Rob, any insight?
No,
do you still talk to him? No, I'm not the other Rob I'm talking
Rob
to.
Cox.
I know you don't talk to him.
No, nothing.
Okay.
The High Sparrow bit, I think it didn't grind his gears a little bit.
I love the High Sparrow.
I thought he would love that. Yeah.
Maybe because Game of Thrones went away, he was like, well, I guess I'm on hiatus. We'll wait for the new
one. That's it. Oh, we got to go. Rob Cox, thank you. And yes, one more thing. Go ahead, sir.
I've got to honor Lena Gilmore, man. I can't. That's the other one that you've got to respect.
Yep.
Lena, her hugs down in New Orleans. Oh, my God.
Loved her on It's Academic.
She was
fantastic.
A cheerleader, Oscar.
Always a big supporter, and we're big fans. Rob, God bless you. Thank you for all your support, and hopefully we'll see you at the next live show, my friend, okay?
We'll sure try.
Thank you very much. Thank you, buddy. Thank you.
A visit from an angry guest. Trying to find a good contractor and dating the same guy? It's all part of the fun on the latest bonus show. Here are some highlights.
Are you okay if I make crunchy noises?
I just want to say that I'm victimized. I'm scrutinized.
Call Jonah Hill. See if Jonah's heavy right now.
I don't think the heavy stuff's going to come in for a while now.
My story is I'm married, and my wife has access codes to everything I own.
My website was, is she betch? Crazy.com. Yippee dip bye, yippee yo, yippee yo, kaye.
There's anger in my pants right now.
Try one episode a month or more of the TMOS bonus show. Get that fifth hour of funny today at MikeOmaraShow.com.
Where the f are my crab chips?
Thank you, Alex. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. This portion of our program brought to you by our very good friends at Sleep Number. Why choose proven quality sleep from Sleep Number? Because right now is the biggest sale of the year. We mean that. I know that. They've been with us for a long time, so I know that this is the chance where all smart beds are on sale with 50% savings on a 360 limited edition smart bed. It's a great time to discover adjustable comfort for both of you. Sleepers who use their 360 smart bed technology enjoy 28 minutes of more restful sleep per night. That's up to 170 hours per year, which is nice. As summer winds down, it's a time of transition. Whether it's back to school or back to the office, quality sleep can help everyone in the family reset to their new routine. So, gradually adjust your new bedtime by 10 to 15 minutes a night. Prioritize your new schedule. Get your bedroom to between 65 and 68 degrees and reward yourself with quality sleep. The ultimate in self-care. If you really want the highest quality sleep, be like me. Get a Sleep Number bed. I wouldn't sleep on anything else. My Sleep Number setting is a 65. Carla's also a 65. Why choose proven quality sleep from Sleep Number? Because every great day starts the night before. Discover special offers now for a limited time at your local Sleep Number store or at sleepnumber.com/TMOS.
From the four corners of the World Wide Web and into your digital device, it's what you need to know. This is The Homepage.
This is The Homepage. Starting December 8th, here they go. Another one, Disney Plus will show commercials. Yeah.
Oh, yay. No, really?
I think, well, really,
you can pay not to get them.
It is so obvious to me what streaming services are worthwhile and which ones I plan on ultimately just casting aside.
Yeah.
Disney Plus is right up there far as useless.
No, I disagree. Useless.
Well, you see, Star Wars?
No.
Is that what it is?
Where are the Marvel movies?
Where are you going to watch Miracle? I just watched Miracle with my nephew.
That sucks. Anyway, they'll show commercials.
Once they aired the Beatles thing, I lost all interest in the
Disney
Channel.
Do you not like the USA?
I hate
it. Don't you question my patriotism.
Unless you want to pay more, then you don't have to see commercials. That seems to be the way they're going.
It's 14 and 17, right?
Subscribers will have the choice to stay at $7.99 per month, but will have to endure family-friendly ads. The version will be called Disney Plus Basic.
Likes the basic.
This
bitch.
Company is so predicated on just, I have to say it, you're going to have to edit it out.
All right.
F***ing people up the
I don't know. Do we need to edit that?
You're wrong.
They are.
You're wrong. Respectfully,
Oscar,
you're wrong.
Disney Plus Basic. The name of it is a contradiction. It's plus, but it's basic.
And also, the very name diminishes it as if to say, I don't want to have the basic. No. What else do you have? That's a Walt thing.
They give you an option. You don't have to buy it.
Isn't that sweet? If you don't want to watch ads, you have to switch to Disney Plus Premium, which will cost you $10.99.
Netflix is doing this. Hulu already has commercials.
The basic tier will have all of the same content, but Netflix gives me so much more.
Yeah,
there's so many, but the technology is different on all of these streaming services.
Peacock is lousy with commercials.
You know, if you screw up your buttons, you go back to Netflix. There it is.
Yeah,
there it is.
You're
press
right.
The button. You're there, or it does it automatically. Whereas do it with HBO Max. You know, you practically have to get a letter from the government to go back to
away.
The
home box office maximum is a bad interface.
The basic tier will have all of the same content, blah, blah, blah. Hulu. Oh, Hulu's also raising prices. Starting October 10th, Hulu with ads will go from $6.99 to $7.99, and the ad-free version will go from $12.99 to $14.99
FU. And they love it. They just keep cashing
guys,
the checks.
We're content creators. We're capitalists, right?
Yes.
What if we had an option for our show? And I'm dead serious. This is something that I didn't put in our little dossier that we put together a couple weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
And we had an option that was ad-free.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think people would be into that? I would say they would.
No, I think it's something, as you would say, this is probably a conversation that should be had off
air. We can call it TMOS Basic.
Obviously, TMOS he's Basic not listening Plus. To me when I say this is a conversation because really the businessman in me, you know, says, please, just Urquay on a Edding Gay A Ivle O'Shea. Okay, A?
Yes.
Thank you. Back in April, Olivia Wilde was served custody papers from her ex-husband, Jason Sudeikis, while she was on stage at a film festival. At the time, Jason claimed he had nothing to do with how and where Olivia was served, but it sounds like she doesn't believe him. In newly obtained court documents, Olivia said it was very much intentional. Her quote is, Jason's actions were clearly intended to threaten me
Theodore
and catch
Lasso,
me off guard.
Mike. Theodore Lasso.
Theodore Lasso could have served me discreetly, but instead he chose to serve me in the most aggressive manner possible. She also said that what he did was not in the best interest of their children, eight-year-old Otis and five-year-old Daisy. And because of what he did, Olivia filed for custody in L.A. Jason is trying to get custody because he wants the kids to live with him in New York.
I was just thinking
ugly.
Is it
ugly,
Otis
ugly.
And Olivia are the kids?
Daisy.
Daisy, their great uncle is George Wendt.
George Wendt.
Because that's Jason Sudeikis' uncle.
So no, I don't think so. No, his name Otis because his uncle is Otis Day.
Oh, and the Knights.
Yes, thank you. With only Murders in the Building already renewed for a third season, Steve Martin sees the end of the line approaching. He says, quote, when this television show is done, I'm not going to seek others. I'm not going to seek other movies. I don't want to do cameos. This is weirdly it.
He must be sick.
I don't know.
Steve's not retiring from showbiz altogether. He and Martin Short are still enjoying their live show, but Steve says, quote, there may be a natural end to that. Somebody gets sick, somebody just wears out, but I wouldn't do it without Marty. So, okay.
How old is he?
You know, 70-ish, right?
Can't believe
something. I don't buy that that's the end. And also, I mean, he is so good in Only Murders.
Yeah, but Rob, like, what else does he have to prove? He's probably like the grind. I don't need to do this.
Yeah, but he could have another hit record.
Great song.
Great song.
Power 105 WAVA with Steve Martin. Tight Q, even when I've got the long distance little record. Let's move on, shall we? Thank you very much. If you haven't done your kids' back-to-school shopping yet, I should use this voice for it. Here's something for your list. Someone polled 1,000 parents and asked them to name the top must-have school supplies. Here are the top five. Headphones. Hey, we didn't have headphones in my day. We used Dixie cups and put a string on them. Those were our headphones. Retro supplies.
What?
Like Trapper Keepers and 90s gel pens. What's a Trapper Keeper?
A Trapper Keeper. The Trapper was built by the Mead Corporation. It was a folder. But the big innovation was that the pockets were vertical.
Yeah.
So your stuff wouldn't fall out.
It's like a file of
and
desk.
Then the Trapper folders keeper. Went in the Trapper Keeper, yeah. Which was a binder. Mine had gotcha. A lion on it.
You ready for number three?
Oh, yeah.
Number three, backpacks and lunchboxes. Gotta right. get those. Come on,
right.
everybody.
That's right, Jackson.
Number two. Number two, a decent laptop or tablet device, Jack.
Yeah, it's good, Jackson.
Yeah, and don't forget your basic supplies. Pens, pencils, notebooks, all that type of thing. Make sure you get that. The poll also found parents are a little less anxious. I guararantee that was on issue.
100%.
Parents are a little less anxious than they were in 2021 and 2020, what with the pandemic and all that.
Oh, Jackson, I went to People's Drug and bought a composition book. They're still the same.
Trapper Keeper, a-hole. There we go.
This guy's getting a lot of love and a lot of hate, so which side are you on? And I mean that. I'm asking both of you. Braden Wallachy is the CEO of a company called Hyper Social that helps companies market themselves on LinkedIn. Now, one of his LinkedIn posts is going viral after he had to lay a few people off and posted a photo of himself crying about it. They have a photo of him, and he is crying. His post talks about how it was his fault. He made a bad business decision in February, stuck with it too long, and that's why they lost their jobs. The post also talks about how he wishes he was more cold-hearted and didn't care, but he does. Well, you are cold-hearted if you talk about being wishing that you were more cold-hearted. It means you're an a-hole. Sorry.
I'm against him, Mike.
He says a lot of other CEOs out there care, too. Most people seem to think he deserves credit for caring about his employees, accepting responsibility, and being vulnerable about it. Other people, I might be in their category, think it's cringy and more about him than his employees, and whether he meant it or not, it feels staged.
Yeah.
Your actions.
Yeah.
Speak louder.
Does he have a trapper keeper?
Trapper keeper. Trapper keepers and those 90s gel pens. Yes, sirree.
I love a good gel pen.
Jackson, I had those when I went to intermediate school.
That's right, little buddy. What a great gel pen. Thumb. And now a little something something. A massive brawl broke out between up to 20 family members during a funeral for an elderly woman in Richmond, Virginia.
Look out! Look out!
Happened August 6th, leading to one injury, one arrest, and $20,000 in damages. The Richmond Police Department said it responded to the Rolling Hills Memorial Park Cemetery after several reports of chaotic behavior.
I hate it.
Between 8 to 20 family members who were reportedly armed.
Mm.
Well, they had their they had their funeral guns.
Sergeant Aaron Pomeroy. Isn't that a great name?
That is
Aaron
a good name.
Pomeroy. Sounds like he should be a Bobby, a British officer.
Hello.
Said it was an instance of family drama that started between a brother and a sister who were attending their mother's funeral and who do not get along. And it goes back many, many years. They got into an argument. Her boyfriend came over and encouraged her to walk away. And then the brother started beating on the boyfriend.
Oh,
that's nasty.
That's when it escalated. At some point during the physical fight, the brother got into a vehicle with the intention of driving over his sister.
Mm.
Here's the quote from police.
Yes.
He attempted to drive toward his sister in an aggressive way, but instead he struck another female and sent her to the hospital with non-life-threatening injuries. In the car, the brother also damaged the grass, knocked over and damaged headstones and vases, and broke a water main that ejected copious amounts of water and flooded the funeral plot.
That's bad.
The driver also reportedly knocked over the casket.
Oh, no.
But the body did not fall out.
That's good.
Thank God for that. When the brother got out of the car, a family member hit him in the head with a cane. No shots were fired and no guns were found. But the dead woman did come to life and put the brother and sister into timeout. Thank you very much, everybody. There you go. Thank you. There
Cradle of the Confederacy. Right.
Yes, sirree. We got to take a break. We'll come back. We got lots of stuff. Lots of going out. We're going to talk to Pony Boy.
The Pony.
About his trip to court when we come back on the Mike O'Mara Show. I don't know whether that's going to go well or whether it's going to go terribly. Oh, I know. It'll go terribly.
Has this ever happened to you?
This guy saw me running. He's closing the door, pretending like he hasn't seen me I'm yelling.
Step up to a new experience in airline travel that's made for a powerful, sophisticated business leader like you.
I buy, you fly.
Santana Airlines shows you the difference between getting where you're going and leading the way.
It's not like we're in a hurry to go anywhere.
Santana Airlines, where everyone is treated like a CEO.
I'm a CEO.
I'm the president, she's vice president.
And as you enjoy the synergy of the amazing skies, use what little bandwidth you think is actionable and circle back to the amazing deals at the Mike O'Mara Shopping Center.
Leverage the value proposition of that low-hanging fruit. At the end of the day, it's a win-win. Just pivot and click the banner at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
It's amazing.
Hold that play!
Oh, hey, everybody. Oh. How you doing? Mike O'Mara here. I wanted to talk to you for a second, if you don't mind. I'd like to talk to you about dad grass. Anyway, it's summer. Lighten up. Dad grass is great anytime. It can help you chill out before a big meeting or a what?
Rob saw me. So I just subscribed to dad grass tinctures.
He did.
The classic. I will get one
like
every 2 weeks. Every 14 days is my tier.
Do you need any further endorsement than that, ladies and gentlemen?
Rob said, do you want me to get you free stuff? And I said, I don't want to support the advertiser.
Yeah sometimes we like to do that.
His mouth said we like to support the advertiser, but his eyes said, I think this will get it to me quicker.
Yeah, this is great. Dadgrass is wonderful. Helps you chill out before a big meeting or be the replacement for that evening glass of wine. Dadgrass is legal. It's organic hemp. It relaxes your body. Mellows your mind. Dadgrass CBD products are made with 100% organic hemp. It's easy to dose and the effects come on smooth. Try their token smokable pre-rolled joints, or if you prefer, hemp flower. Or, as Oscar just mentioned, their selection of CBD tincture drops. Mm-hmm. Whether you're looking for a new buzz or a chill way to enjoy an old favorite, Dadgrass will leave you in a euphoric mood. All Dadgrass products are federally legal for ages 18 and over, and it ships right to your door anywhere in the good old U.S. of A. Go to dadgrass.com/TMOS to check out their products right now. Dadgrass is offering our listeners 20% off their first order when you go to dadgrass.com/TMOS. Go to dadgrass.com/TMOS for 20% off your first order. That's dadgrass.com/TMOS, people. Pony Boy Matt Bloom. First of all, we'll do a little sound check. How's your microphone sounding, Pony?
I think it sounds great. What do you think?
I do too. I think it's just clear as a bell.
Now would be a great time to end the segment.
Yes.
Yeah, let's go.
Thank you, Pony. Thanks for coming on the show. So, how was the experience yesterday at the Fairfax County Courthouse?
Well, you know, normally, serving on a jury is how most people can sort of serve their country and, sure. and their community. I think it's a wonderful thing to do. It's also one of the most boring and time-wasting activities you could ever possibly take part in.
I've heard that. Mm-hmm. I've heard that. I've never been.
Have you been called?
What?
Have you ever been called to jury duty? I know you haven't served on it, but...
Excuse me?
I mean, have you ever been called to actually be in the pool to be a juror?
I'm having trouble here. I'm having trouble here.
Well, I'll ask you after the show.
Okay, Pony, so yes. At the jury, we're, first of all, so many questions. Were there any lovely single ladies that were in the jury pool?
All the single ladies.
You know what? The majority of single ladies were of an age that was far beyond mine, and most of them, actually, everybody was very socially distanced. Nobody was talking.
See, now the picture I'm painting right now is from a movie, The Producers, where I'm now picturing the women that were wooed by Nathan Lane that are single elderly widows that were in the jury room.
Hold me, touch me. Yeah.
Yes.
I thought it was like 12 Angry Men.
No, that's a different. Now that's Mike at the gym.
That's the classic.
Hey, how about a round of applause for our Bolivian brother with his pop culture reference to 12 to one of the great jury movies of all time.
Mm-hmm. So what? He read a TV guide once. Big deal.
That's terrific. Now listen, you know, I'll ask Rob this, right? The old one, I want to say Jack Lemmon, maybe, right? Or no. Lee J. Cobb.
Yeah,
Lee J.
And Cobb. I believe Henry Fonda and I think
George Scott, maybe,
and I think Jack Klugman actually is one of the jurors. Yeah.
Did they modernize that? Did they make a recent version of that movie, 12 Angry Men?
Not to my recollection.
A Time to Kill.
No, I don't
think. A Time to Kill was John Grisham. Another jury movie, though. I'm giving you mad props.
Are you just Googling those?
No, I got nothing.
Are you just Googling them?
Do you go into a room or where do you go? Is it like a waiting area primarily?
Yeah. You get ushered into this big room. I was
come right
late.
In.
Of course, I was running late, and security stopped me because I had a screwdriver in my bag that I forgot about. It was wonderful.
How are you running? What are you wearing?
You had a screwdriver in your bag?
I did. I had my my work screwdriver in my bag, and apparently you can't bring a screwdriver into the courtroom.
You know, Mike, when I went to jury duty...
That could be a stabbing, you know.
When I went to jury duty, I had a screwdriver, but it was orange juice and vodka.
Back in the day.
Oh, God, I wish they had
pre-made,
a bar.
Though.
It was in a thermos.
Jeez, so you have... What the hell? I mean, so they found that... Were they concerned when they removed the weapon from your backpack?
No, they understood, and then they held on to it for me, and I actually got it back.
They
I was
understood.
Quite surprised.
They understood.
And then did they continue to escort you?
No. So it was going,
thank you,
like,
Mrs.
going
Smith.
Through.
We appreciate it, Mr. Washington. Thank you very much. All right, Mr. Bloom, would you step over here, please? Thank you very much. We appreciate that. All right, what about over here? Where is it? Oh, come on. God damn it! My soundboard sucks. I wasn't pressing the right button. I was going to do a whole sound thing. Thank you, Mr. Bloom. Why don't you go through this detector right over here? Thank you. Oh, dear. There we go. I went a long way for that one.
I liked it.
So they take the screwdriver at the segments, I have to say.
Smart.
Yeah. He could screw it up for now, and it still would be good. Yeah. So they take your screwdriver.
Did you bring the screwdriver in any hope that you would be caught and removed?
DQ'd?
Yeah.
No. I was in a hurry out the door.
You go into a waiting area.
Yes, you go into this big room and everyone's socially distanced, and okay. they make you watch this movie, this like really corny, like 15-minute video talking about.
I'm Troy McClure.
But worse. I mean, it's okay. like everyone in it. You could tell is like clearly like fair. They're like Fairfax Fives in this video.
Not and this guy.
Fairfax you mean like, Fives, like ugly. You mean
he's,
like
he's yes. ranking them.
And, Uggos, I mean,
the men
Uggos.
And women. Everyone okay. was ugly.
Were you wearing a mask in the huge waiting room?
No, no. Everyone was distanced enough, and they didn't have any mask requirements.
So they show you a video about what it is to be a juror and what your responsibilities are and how it's going to work and all that
yeah.
good stuff?
Yeah, and it's just this corny video where they're
Remember
talking about...
to leave your screwdrivers at home.
All right, I calm wish. Down. So you go into the room, you watch the video, then what happens?
And then we just sat there for like an hour and a half, with no interaction whatsoever. And eventually a sheriff comes in and starts passing out numbers to everybody and making sure everybody's there. And he's like doing a roll call.
Now
and
everybody then, listen, you're all going to get a number.
It was not basically. Barney.
Oh, sorry. Right.
So then like 30 or 40 minutes later, they finally like ushered us into a courtroom and they just asked us a series of questions about, you know, but would have you ever been stolen from? Have you ever, you know, been in trouble with the police? And you just raise your hand.
When they were
and,
asking you those questions, did you think that were they asking those questions specifically for a trial you might have been sitting on?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Because okay. they, right. they want to make sure that you're not going to be biased. So if
was it an like, attorney that was asking you the questions?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. And, all right. Yeah. So they're basically
first name juries. Garrett.
You were part.
It was the Lincoln lawyer.
Yes.
You were part of that was jury selection.
Yeah, it's a real pool.
Yeah, mm-hmm. and you just raise your hand if you have. And
you've been robbed.
I have not.
What are you talking about?
Yeah, your car.
Didn't they break into your car in front of Oscar's house? They you mallet tried, head? Did you not? What?
They tried to break into my car. They couldn't get through the window.
You're not going to raise your hand? I would raise my hand in a heartbeat. Yeah, of course.
So many questions. And I don't know whether... I have to say this. So when the people raise their hands about an answer in a certain way, did they say, okay, you're excused?
No. They just would take notes and then afterwards.
Okay. So they're not telling a tale where it's just like, I was robbed. But I mean, if you say you're robbed,
they're asking that question.
Right?
Yeah, they're asking a question. He wanted to stay there. Yeah. I told you.
No.
Are they identifying
absolutely.
You? Are they identifying you by the number that Barney Fife gave you? Is that
yes.
how they know you? Do you have to hold the number up?
No. You're wearing a badge like around your
Didn't
neck.
Didn't they crack your windshield when they tried to break into your car?
Yeah, to get your canoe.
They cracked my back window.
Yeah.
So you were victimized.
Yeah, but
Did
I mean, it was more of a vandalism
that?
than a theft.
Oh, this guy. He knows the law.
When you're right, you're right.
Right?
Yeah.
You're right.
He's like,
so
can't wait to get picked and never see the guys again.
So what was the next question?
It was a series of questions. I don't even remember all of it. It was just...
Anything political?
Nothing political. It was just asking if you'd ever been like in trouble with the police, if you'd ever been involved in a theft and so on. And then after they asked a few questions, they sent us back to the waiting room and we just sat there for hours and I just listened to podcasts while I'm
And then they finally came out and said, you're not selected, you're excused.
Yeah, well, yeah, they just came out and said, I'm going to need like the following people, everybody else, you're all good to go.
Okay, all right, now I want to get to that part. So obviously they're calling the following people. Did you get to see reactions from the people that knew that they were going to be called? Because I would imagine that for some
and
people
called,
is just a total bad experience. Did you see reactions for people that were called?
I think there might have been a few people who were just kind of like, but I mean, it wasn't a very entertaining room.
Were you
all.
Like, oh man, that's my shot. Lost it.
No, yeah. I was relieved because I didn't want to get stuck in some long like Johnny Depp case or something.
Yeah, he was hoping he'd be in there. Yeah. Anyway, that's fascinating. I love that. Hey, that's good. Well, thank you for serving on your jury.
You're a great American.
Yeah, thank you for voting.
You are truly, and I respect you. I really respect you. And you got your screwdriver back?
I did.
That's wonderful.
It's missing
that's
a
exciting.
Bit, though.
That's so wonderful.
Oh. Think how
thank
handy it would have been if the judge had like a loose screw in his chair.
We will take a short break and come back with more of the Mike O'Mara Show.
Hi, this is Tom Rogal. I like to get my news anywhere I can. That's why I love to listen to The Mike O'Mara Show. And my favorite way to consume it is on Spotify. Because Spotify is young and cool. And I'm young and cool, just like Chuck Todd. So go to Spotify and search the Mike O'Mary Show. It's the best, even better than a transistor radio or a hula hoop. TMOS on Spotify. I'm Tom Brokaw, and I'm old.
Thank you, Tom. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. Finally, there's an e-bike, and they're back.
Yes.
It's made for everyone. We're talking about electric e-bikes. You could do a whole segment on that. And they start at just $799. They are the fastest growing e-bike company in the entire U.S., and it's easy to see why. They're fully adjustable and customizable, so they're comfortable even for people who don't normally ride bikes. Plus, electric e-bikes ship free and come pre-assembled and pre-charged. You'll be on the road in no time. You can cover 45 miles at up to 28 miles per hour on just a 4 to 6 hour charge. Plus, they quickly fold in half. No bike rack or truck required. It's a way more eco-friendly than a car. Explore the great outdoors or the city while keeping the air clean. It goes over any terrain, including snow and sand. The battery is hidden away. And there's an LCD display featuring speed, range, and adjustable power level. Ultra cool. Oscar loves his. Did you get it back?
I got it back, baby.
Nice.
I'm back.
That's wonderful. Where were you? Well, let me start again.
How's that? Freedom.
Where will, well, you wrote it. Where will your e-bike adventures take you? Go to electricebikes.com and get $100 off any e-bike purchase. That's electricebikes.com. It's time for what Rob told me before the show is a plastic surgery update.
Yes, absolutely.
Your wife, as far as we know, had a major procedure done last year.
Multiple major procedures.
Yes.
At the same time. Mm-hmm. Got them all done. It was a massive amount of time
in bulk.
Surgical suite. And then she had another procedure done while you were dying.
Right.
So it was...
I was dying.
She said...
It was after
she
you
was were...
She was
tired
as soon
of
as
Rob
you found
having,
out,
yeah, having all the attention that she needed.
She wanted to go back
into
love.
The... Well,
what
this,
update do you
file
have?
File this under no good deed goes unpunished, because she went in for her final, sort of her final follow-up today with the doctor to make sure everything was healing all right and to register any concerns that she had. And she just, I didn't see this, but she said she didn't feel that the eye job that she got was effective as had been promised to her. So she went in with some questions and the doctor looked at her and said, "Have you lost weight?" And yeah, she has. She's lost quite a bit of weight.
How much?
I think nearly 30 pounds or about 30.
How? Wow. That's is she amazing. Running or something? What's going
no,
on?
No, she's doing the same thing as me, just eating better.
Just and the more, the diet, the better
yeah,
diet.
Okay. Better diet.
That's
and,
amazing.
And walking and all that
Jeez.
Stuff. And because of that, some of the natural fat in her face has gone away. And because of that and the weight loss, the eye job is not as effective, so she needs to go in for another procedure for injections.
Fillers.
But it's not going to be, they're not going to cut on her again.
Not going to cut her. This is just an office visit, but it's not
so
a free.
So they got to get some fillers. That sounds like fillers.
Yeah, gotta, it is. But
she's
got to
pay
a,
for it?
It's not a free office visit.
Oh, my God. This is on the heels of you finding out, you know, the third didn't cut
Missed
the GPA.
It by that much. So, yeah, it's a, and she said, "I don't know. I feel kind of bad about, you know, putting all this money into my face." I said, "We've already gone 9/10 of the way. If you don't finish it up, you got to finish it up."
Well, you're a nice guy. You're a nice guy, you know?
Well, I mean,
would look at her and say, "There's a reason
they call it elective."
Well, so I guess the good news is that she's lost the weight and she's healthy and feeling good.
God, what's wrong with my camera shot.
The bad news is that she undid basically some of the work that had been done just by I told her to get fat again.
Since you're getting an update, I will give my update.
Yeah.
Looks like Mrs. O'Mara will be waiting a little
that's
bit.
Sweet.
Have,
I think that's smart.
Probably.
I told her, you know.
For the best.
I mean,
she doesn't need it, in my opinion.
Well, I don't like it. I don't like it. I don't like it at all. It worries me. It worries me. And I'm not as nice as Rob.
In what way does it worry you? You don't have a trustworthy physician?
I think the whole
thing. Did they
BS.
Tell you that the filler
Plastic
needs to be refilled either. Every 2 years?
No, they did not say that.
Yeah. Like, that's an ongoing, like, and I know this because of my
How
mom.
How does she look after the surgery and the weight loss?
I think she looks dynamite. And
so you don't think she needs anything?
No, I don't. But the doctor says this is the reason why.
The doctor is making money. The doctor's not going to tell her what is good for her.
She is dissatisfied.
Or your pocketbook.
She is dissatisfied. She went in this morning dissatisfied. And then as she called me, and as she said it so quaintly, well, all bad news. I said, dynamite, let me have it. And that's
what did she expect? I mean, if they have to do something else, even if it was something to, unless it was some sort of injury, if it's by choice, what did she expect? That she'd get something for free?
No. She doesn't expect
the
that.
The losing of the weight is, I guess, the more monumental side of this, right?
That's fantastic.
Yeah, that's a win
really,
all around.
Really great.
But so I guess the life hack here is if you're going to lose weight and get plastic surgery, do it in that order.
That's what they tell you.
Because it'll be modified. I would think so.
It's like getting a fitted suit.
Yeah. The doctor was actually shocked at how her face had changed weight-wise, not from the surgery, but because the amount of, they call them fat pads. It sounds like a disgusting thing, but that's what it's called in your cheek. The shrinkage of the fat pads totally blew his mind.
Yeah, because with age, Mike, you get like these deeper circles. Some people get them under their eyes.
Yeah.
I
can show you, actually, if you want to see this, because it's like, I think that what happens after your...
My mom years ago had filler.
Yeah.
I'm talking years ago, like 4 or 5 years ago.
Yeah.
And I remember my father saying, you know, that's going to be every 2 years, the doctor said. And she said, really? And every 2 years, she's gone back.
Wow.
Yeah, to adjust.
Hey, you know what? Oscar gave me even more good news. I know how much the filler cost. It's $700 a vial. That's how much it is.
Look, good for her. Yeah. She's and congratulate her on the weight loss. And you got a beautiful woman who's going to make herself even more beautiful.
Hopefully she
and that's
around.
Great. And by the way, the thing Carla wants to have done is a little eye thing, too.
Yeah, that's
it. And if she wants to do it, if it really, really is important. You know what? Here's what I think's really going to go down. We had a conversation about it. I really was sincere when I said, you're beautiful. You've always been beautiful. You don't need anything there. I said, please don't do that. I just don't think it's necessary.
What about,
wait a while.
What's
and
that
she looked at me and she said, yes. And I just said, I know, it'll be like, well, my appointment's next week.
Yeah.
That's the way Carla rolls with me, where she'll just do it. I'm sorry, Oscar. I stepped on you.
I'm sorry. So for men, it's always the bald head, right? And
another thing. I'm sorry to jump in. Yeah. You actually just cued me. The bald spot is going to go away.
What do you mean?
Carrie had a little bit of hair loss at the front of her head, but because that's the trauma from the original surgery, and so the hair will come back. She had to change her hairstyle a little bit because she lost some hair.
Oh, but that's going to naturally come back? They're not going to place something?
No, I don't think so. A shock of red hair, corn silk.
A Linda her blue dyed piece of hair, you know. By the way, that's Linda's real hair. She just colors it.
That's right. That's right.
At least the way
I
understand.
Didn't know about the hair.
You know?
Yeah, well, that's a new thing too. But she changed. I love it. And she's upset with the way she's had to change her hair. And I think her hair looks great the way it looks.
How bald was it though?
Okay. Do you remember the captain on the Love Boat?
Yeah.
No, we have to take a break. Kevin MacLeod. Jesus Christ. Have you seen Little Shop of Horrors? Anyway. No, the wrong movie. Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Yes, that's what you want.
Duh. Anyway, we'll take a break and back with Soundtown right here.
Greetings to my father.
Has he got a condo or does he have an apartment?
They call him Condo Bob.
Hello, I'm Condo Bob.
I once saw Condo Bob bowl a perfect game while receiving a colonoscopy.
Best damn management consultant in the firm.
He had to have his feet registered as deadly weapons in the state of Delaware.
Condo Bob has fathered every male child in Indonesia since 1985.
In the wintertime, snow will not accumulate on his walkway out of respect to Condo Bob.
Condo Bob! Condo Bob does all of his shopping through the TMOS Shopping Center. One click and he gets what he wants. While everyone else has to click the banner at MikeOMaraShow.com, Condo Bob simply orders his items through the power of his mind.
Got a condo made of stoner.
B-whack. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. As anticipated, the Federal Reserve has increased their Fed funds rate by 75 basis points. They're doing that to combat inflation, but what does this mean to you? Well, with mortgage rates up one day, down the next, it's more important than ever to work with a company you can trust. My good friend Mark Livingstone and the team at Cornerstone First Financial are that company. This real estate market is different than in the past, and whether you're a first-time home buyer deciding whether to rent or to own, upsizing, downsizing, or anything in between, you need a team that knows your specific options and can get you the absolute best deal for you and your family. Cornerstone has everything you need for your home purchase, including a portfolio of great real estate agents that suit your needs. With their years of experience, customer service, and low rate guarantee, why would you call anyone else? Come on, come on,
come on,
come on.
Whether it's a purchase or refinance, call our friends at Cornerstone First Financial today. The number one mortgage company of all TMS fans. 202-625-1221. That's 202-625-1221 or Cornerstone First Financial.
How's that?
Cornerstone. Cornerstonefirst.com. Come on. All right? Hey, hey, mother. How are you doing? All right, there you go. Sorry about that.
Mother.
Town. We call this stereophonic sound.
Sound Town.
Mother.
Mother. Come on, mother.
Come on, mother. Come on.
Your mom over there. Yeah.
Mike, do you have your explosives?
I do. Standing by. I always have them handy for Sound Town.
Good. This will trend over the next couple days, and it just, again, it just pisses me off, so I just want to get it out of the way. Last night on The Tonight Show, Jimmy Fallon and The Roots had Madonna as a guest, and they sang the song Music with Classroom Instruments. Hey, good song, but...
Such a good song, why I'm listening to, and I like it. Yeah. What's that? Did you watch it? Did you watch the video?
Yeah.
How's Madonna looking?
She looks like a different woman.
Really?
She looks great, but she doesn't look like Madonna to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I bet she's had her eyes done a few times.
Yeah.
There we go.
How'd you like to see her bald spot?
Mmm. Boo.
Mike, let's go back 65 years. Okay. Everyone's talking about gasoline, petroleum. And you know, going to the gas station in 1957 was a different experience. Check this out. There's people listening that have no recollection of this at all.
In every neighborhood today, there is a service station. Here you can buy gasoline and oil for your car. And you receive many other services as well. The attendant finds out what kind and how much gasoline you want. The attendant also checks under the hood of your car. He looks to see if there is enough water in your radiator. All cars need oil. The attendant checks to see if there is enough oil in your car. The attendant also checks your tires. The service station attendant washes your windshield so that it's bright and clear. Then you pay him for the gasoline and oil. His other services are free. Some service stations keep the money drawer in the station house. And it's here where the attendant goes to get your change. How much better and faster this is than long ago.
What?
Service stations are everywhere. Certainly there is one in your neighborhood, too.
Yes. How much longer and faster, how shorter and faster than long ago when man invented fire and rolled a stone wheel
go into the cash drawer in the hut.
I am old enough to remember going into a gas station and having the guy do it.
Yeah.
Having Tommy French wash our window and put the gas, pump our gas while we all sat in the car. Whole family of able-bodied
people.
And
you know,
Jersey's like that.
Still that way. But the thing about Tommy French, he got that name because he'd kiss you with tongue.
Stop it. He's a god. And he was wonderful to my mother for years and years.
All right. I apologize.
Do you see a world where we're rolling in within our lifespan and our batteries on our electric cars are being swapped out?
Not only do I see that, but I also see, I think, this is just a prediction, and I think I'll be around for it, because I think it's 10, 15 years away, so I hope I'm around for it. But I will say this, that I believe we are about to have a renaissance of automobiles like we've never seen before, because I think the design possibilities that I subscribe to all the car magazines.
Yeah.
I get Motor Trend, I get Car and Driver. I think that these...
Checkers.
We. Always we. We
great,
sluts.
Great articles in We. It was really a
go ahead.
Okay, sorry about that.
You ruined
okay,
it.
While we talk about gas stations, here's the modern gas station. That was the old-fashioned gas station.
Okay.
You would think this is in Florida. This is in Ohio when the attendant at a gas station found a six-year-old drinking a Smirnoff Ice.
My coworker was like, is he drinking a beer? And I look, and I was like, oh, he is. So I opened the door, and I said, do you know that you're drinking a beer? And he said, yep, this
Stop
is me and my mommy's
second.
Favorite beer. We drink
yep.
it.
It's a Smirnoff Ice.
Yeah.
Ohio lady. It's a Smirnoff Ice.
It is.
Correct it's, matters, it's, especially in a big news story. It's a Smirnoff Ice. You
not
can
a
play
beer.
It again.
It's not a beer.
It's not a beer.
You know that you're drinking a beer? And he said, yep, this is me and my mommy's favorite beer. We drink it all the time. So I just instantly, I knew, like, give me my phone. I'm calling 911.
The police took the mother away.
Yeah, well, yeah. That's terrible. That's terrible to yeah. be doing that. Yeah, and by the way, my mom, you know, it wasn't a pre-made cocktail, okay? No. She'd make them herself. That's because she paid attention, okay?
Well, she wanted to make sure you got your vitamin C, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I called it mommy's juice.
That's right. Come on, mother.
Here, you know, Mike's getting a little fussy. Have a little mommy's juice.
Nap time.
Fresh squeezed orange juice, and then to bed.
What a
I go
day.
To bed about 1:30 in the afternoon.
Do you go to bed and mom would watch all my children?
And all the nighttime shows, because I'd sleep clean through the night.
Mike, there are a lot of things that I find disgusting, and I think you share this with me.
Okay.
This woman has been growing her fingernails.
Oh, God.
For 25 years.
Oh, okay. Ugh.
If you added up the
Wretched.
Length of all the fingernails, 42 feet.
Yeah.
They're now, curved?
Yeah. Oh, yes. And she is, of course, a Guinness World Record holder, but she here talks with her daughter about keeping the nails at their best.
My mother's nails are 42 feet and 10 inches long.
Well, I haven't been to a nail salon in about 22 years. But when they see me coming, they're like, oh, no.
My family love her nails.
Yes.
Like, pay extra attention to her, and they just think she likes special.
Well, my grandkids come over and do my nail. One nail took 4 to 5 hours, and I go through about 15 to 20 bottles of nail polish.
That's right.
That can't be good for your lungs.
No. It doesn't sound like it's
right?
good for your lungs.
It's a
right?
ventilated room.
I haven't been to a nail salon.
Yeah, yeah. And then, of course, it really, when it comes to nails, it's not about the nail polish or the length. It's about what's under them.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, I just
well,
had to
Mike,
mention that.
I saw the picture, and they look sort of like tubes at a certain point. So I don't know what they're carrying. But the lady did say she's going to continue to work at the McDonald's in Fairfax.
Oh, that's...
Never got my order right there. The worst
here's
McDonald's
your,
ever.
Here's your burger.
Thank you, Lunch Hooks. And while we're talking nails, here's a lady getting her acrylic nails removed, the fake nails. And I can't tell if she's having a good time or not.
I don't think I can do it.
Put your hand on
I'm me. So scared, Maggie.
Did you see the video?
Yeah, oh, she's a mess.
Me, Maggie. Ah!
Big woman.
Go, just go.
Yes.
She has that Melissa McCarthy kind of sound.
Yes, she does have that sound.
I mean, I'm not saying anything about big people.
No,
I'm just saying
no.
She has that. There's a laugh.
Funny.
I'd love to be able, since I'm an impressionist, I'd love to be able to play the very beginning of that. I want to see if I hear
and
that
you know,
on,
I know
the, on the show.
I know another example of that laugh.
I don't think I can do it.
Put your hand.
I'm so scared, Maggie.
Do you remember the lady that had the Chewbacca mask?
Yes.
That went viral?
Yes.
She had that laugh, too.
Yep, absolutely.
And they're all lovely, and they all keep their nails clean.
Everybody's lovely. Everybody's their own special human being in this
That's
day
right.
and age in 2022. Everybody is special, and everybody has something to say, and everybody has their inner beauty.
Especially Mike Dolly Parton, who we close with today.
Oh, yeah. I love Dolly.
She is great. She was at a press conference, and they asked her how she'd want to be remembered.
Well, a lot of people ask me, what I want people to say about me 100 years from now. I want them to say, golly, she looks good for her age.
Well, I missed it.
What? She said, what do you want people to say about you 100 years from now? She says, I want them to say, golly, she looks good for her age.
Yay, Dolly will be 200 years old.
That's all I got. That's
then we'll all go to Dollywood. That's awesome.
You're saying that she's 100 now? So no. That in 100 years, she'll be 200.
Well, she's 80, isn't she?
Yeah, I suppose.
You round it up.
180.
And until then, Mike, she will not cut her nails.
Very nice. We have to take a powder, and thank you again to our talking head, Rob Cox.
Great.
Very nice man, and a great story.
Thank you for the
gift. Love that. We'll be back tomorrow, and if you want to hear us, you're going to have to subscribe to our bonus show with your chicken nugget necklace. And I really, really hope that you do, because we are going to have some fun. And at the end of a long week, when we're doing this show, above and beyond, we get to cuss.
That's good.
Yeah. It's not forced.
No.
But it's organic, and sometimes it gives us
thoughtful.
A chance to talk a little bit. Do you like your necklace?
Yeah, it's beautiful.
You going to be wearing it this evening when you're traveling the streets?
I'll put it on now.
I think you get 10% off a Happy Meal if you wear that to McDonald's.
That's lovely. That's really, really special. And Pony, thanks for your service to our country.
Oh, you're welcome.
We'll take a powder. See you tomorrow on the bonus show. For Rob Spiewak, Pony Boy, Matt Bloom, Oscar Santana, Michael Maris, saying so long, everybody.
Bye-bye.
See you tomorrow.
Bye-bye.
Ciao, ciao.
Want more? Make sure you check out the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show. Get it at MichaelMaraShow.com.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.